Hi, this is Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Weinreb, continuing with a series of talks on the subject of parents and what they can do to work with their children and to guarantee that their children not use alcohol and other drugs. In the last two talks, I stressed the fact that alcohol is so accessible. I mentioned that not only is alcohol accessible in our homes, but so are various dangerous drugs, which range from things which sound innocuous, like cough medicines, and then go on to the Valiums and painkillers that are in the medicine chests of so many of us. What I'd like to focus on today is what are some of the things that parents can do to raise their children in ways that substance abuse is not part of the kids' program, not part of the kids' agenda. The ideas that I hope to share with you in this brief talk and in future talks are ideas not just about how to deal with alcohol and drug abuse, but rather these are just simply good ideas for how to be a good parent, and I would add how to be a good Jewish parent. So I want to focus on a fascinating finding by a group that I'm affiliated with to some extent, and that is the National Center on Addiction and Substance Abuse at Columbia University. It is abbreviated as CASA, C-A-S-A, which stands for Center on Addiction and Substance Abuse. They do a lot of research on the whole area of families and alcohol, tobacco, drugs, etc. And some years ago, not very long ago, but a few years ago, they found out a fascinating finding that there's one behavior that happens in families that's definitely negatively correlated with drug abuse, meaning if the family simply does this one thing, the chances of their kids using drugs or alcohol is very, very small. And what is the one thing, you ask? The one thing is families that have meals together have kids who do not experiment with drugs and alcohol and tobacco, for that matter. Just having meals together. Now, when I first came across this finding, which is a fascinating finding, and the statistical significance of the research is astounding. If you have three meals a week with your kids, the incidence of drug use in the kids goes down by a dramatic percentage. It's cut less than half of what it would be otherwise. My first reaction was great. Orthodox Jewish families, they have meals together. They have Friday night meals together, Shabbos meals together. And then I began to ask a few questions of some of the people in my shul, some of the families that consult me as a psychologist, some families of friends and relatives. And I found out that we not always have Friday meals together. Sometimes the adolescent kids don't come to the Shabbos table. And if we have Friday night meals together, then we don't have a Shabbos lunch together. And during the week, we never get together because mother's working, father's working, et cetera, et cetera. So that from families don't do much better than any other group when it comes to having meals together. So the first message I want to do is to encourage you to think about this. Do you really have meals together as a family? And how frequently do you have them over the course of a week? The general finding is that kids who have dinner with their parents every night of the week are far less likely to smoke, drink, or use drugs than kids who never had dinner with their parents. Kids who have frequent family dinners together, by the way, also do better in school, suffer less stress, are not bored, and have friends that we would want them to have. The nightly ritual of having a family together gives families a relaxed, nourishing context for coming together, connecting, communicating, talking, listening, seeing, and hearing. That's where parental engagement happens. It happens around the family dinner table. Now, what's going on here is something very interesting. Long ago, when I was first trained in the field of psychology, there was a very popular child psychologist who wrote many, many popular books. His name was a Jewish man named Chaim Gannot, G-I-N-N-O-T. I think it was just one T, not twos, two, G-I-N-N-O-T. And you could look up his books. They're not freely available, but they're still out there. He said something very, very interesting. He said that, you know, sometimes in a time of crisis and things are going on, we turn to each other and say, don't just stand there, do something. Don't just stand there, do something. You have heard, I'm sure, that statement. Well, Chaim Gannot said that when it comes to child raising, when it comes to good parent behavior, he says just the opposite. Don't just do something, stand there. In other words, if you are there for your kids, it really doesn't make much of a difference what you're doing. But the very fact that you're there, you show up to their games, you show up in their schools, you're present, you're around, you're not an absentee parent, that just being there is more than half of the battle when it comes to raising kids. The same thing is true around the table. People ask me, well, okay, you have dinner with the kids. So what do you do? What's the magic that turns them into better behaved kids just because you sat and ate some chicken soup together? Well, the answer is, it doesn't make a difference what you do around the table. The very fact that you show enough concern and enough parent power to sit down every night, you and your wife and your kids, however many you've got, two or four or six or eight, all around, and you're there for them and they're with you, even if you just eat and don't talk, you've accomplished a lot. You've sent a message. I'm here for you. I care, and I want you to be part of this family. And that's a message right there and then. That's extremely powerful, extremely powerful. What you do with the meal, whether you sing Zmiros, whether you discuss current events, whether you say a Dvar Torah, all of the above, discuss sports, discuss the kids' hobbies, discuss whatever it is, as long as it's not Lashon Hara, as long as it's not malicious gossip, anything you talk about is fine. And no talking at all is also fine. And singing is certainly fine. Talking about the food is fine. This is a secret, kind of, a secret to share with parents. But what I do want to say is, of course, you don't have to just sit there and be there and do nothing. There are things that you can do. And there are conversations that you can have. Now, way back when I was a kid, there was a famous book about childhood and parenting that was titled something like, Where Did You Go? Out. What Did You Do? Nothing. Which kind of, that's how kids are, especially teenage kids. They give these one-word answers, and they're very hard to engage in conversation, and that can be frustrating and sometimes angering. But I have found that there are a couple of questions that are conversation starters. When kids are young, for example, just saying, well, what's the best thing that happened to you today? Well, what's the worst thing that happened to you today? These are questions which are known as open-ended questions. You can't answer that question with a mere yes or no. The kid will sometimes say, nothing happened, and okay, you have to go on to another question. But if you ask what the best thing that happened today to you, the kids are going to say, well, we won the game of football, I got an A in school, we had a longer recess, we had French fries for lunch, whatever it happened to be. That's a conversation right then and there. There are other kinds of questions that can be brought up even with young children. Of course, you can move on to questions of a much more serious nature, like what values are most important to you? A discussion in the language that we use and around our table. What do you think are more important, mitzvos shebein odom lamokom or mitzvos shebein odom lachavero? Mitzvahs between man and God or mitzvahs between one person and another? And what is your favorite mitzvah? Maybe you're not supposed to have a favorite mitzvah. We're supposed to want to do all mitzvahs. But the fact is that kids have favorite mitzvahs. And we can say what values, what mitzvahs are most important to you. What do you think is most important? Or what kinds of averos trouble you the most? This is a much more serious kind of discussion, but you'll be surprised as to how kids can get into it. Or what can each of us do to make our shul a better place, our family a better family, our neighborhood a better neighborhood, the Jewish people a better people? These are all the kinds of questions that we can ask to get conversation started. So sometimes, and this question comes up all the time to me, I can't make it to dinner every night or even five times a week. I'm an attorney, and then I work, I don't know, some tremendous number of hours each week, 60, 70 hours. I can never make it home for dinner. Or I teach in an evening school, an yeshiva, or an evening college, or whatever it is, and I can't. Or I'm a nurse or a doctor, and I can't be there for dinner. So what do you do? Well, here are some suggestions for other ways to create regular family time with your children. Number one, share every available meal on the weekends with the entire family. Number two, have breakfast together. Number three, take your child out to lunch once a week or once in a while. Number four, go for walks together after work, after school, or on the weekends. Take mini holidays together, going to a museum, a park, etc. These are just some of the suggestions. I want to suggest to you a website which really has a lot of practical suggestions. Now, some of them might not be consistent with an Orthodox Jewish life, so you use your judgment. But I do want you to take advantage of this website. It's www.casafamilyday.org. Casa is C-A-S-A. Family is family. Day. www.casafamilyday.org. You'll find lots of practical suggestions there, all underlining this very simple intervention to really improve the quality of your kids' behavior and of your family life in general, and you will be, as a parent, a happier parent. And that is to have dinner together as many times a week as you can. That's just one piece of advice. It will go a long way. Thanks again for listening, and there will be more talks of this nature with other simple ideas, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, in the future.